Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe. Jaya Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nittai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nittai Gaura Haribo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6, entitled Maharaj Parikshit Passes Away. This is text number 1. Suta Vacha. Etan Nishamya Muninabitham Parikshit. Etanishamya munina bihitam parikshit. Vyasatmajena nikhilatma drisha trishasamena. Vyasatmajena nikhilatma drishasamena. Tat Padamulam upashritya natena murdna. Tat padamulam upashritya natena murdna. Baddhanjalistam idamaha savishnuratha. Suta Vacha. Etanishamya munina bihitam parikshit. Vyasatmajena nikhilatma drishasamena. Tatpadamulam upashritya natena murdna. Baddhanjalistam idamaha savishnuratha.
Atmajena nikhilatma drishasamena. Thank you.
Sut Goswami said, Etat this Nishamya hearing Munina by the sage Shukadev Abhihitam narrated Parikshit Maharaj Parikshit Vyasa Atmajena by the son of Vyasadeva, Nikhila of all living beings, Atma, the Supreme Lord, Drisha, who sees, Samena, who is perfectly equipoised, Tat of him, Shukadev, Padamulam to the lotus feet, Upashritya, going up, Natena, bowing down, Murdana, with his head, Bhadda Anjali, his arms folded in supplication, Tam, to him, Idam, this, Aha, said, Saha, he, Vishnuratha, Parikshit, who while still in the womb had been protected by Lord Krishna himself. Translation. Shuta Goswami said, after hearing all that was narrated to him by the self-realized and equipoised Shukadev, the son of Vyasadeva, Maharaj Parikshit humbly approached his lotus feet. Bowing his head down upon the sage's feet, the king, who had lived his entire life under the protection of Lord Vishnu, folded his hands in supplication and spoke as follows. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, some of the sages present while Shukadeva was instructing King Parikshit were impersonalist philosophers. Thus the word Samena indicates that in the previous chapter Shukadeva Goswami had spoken the philosophy of self-realization in a way pleasing to such intellectual yogis.
Omagyantimirandasya gyananjana shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा वेरी ऑनर्ड एंड हैप्पी टू बी हियर एट श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ टेम्पल माय इटर्नल होम एंड सो हैप्पी टू बी सीइंग पीपल फॉर द लास्ट 7 months आई ओनली बीन सीइंग स्क्रीन्स You know, I have been seeing cameras. I think over the last 7 months, I've given at least about 400 lectures. And out of all these 400 lectures, 90% or at least 70 to 80% of the time, I didn't see anybody, you know. Because a lot of people keep their cameras off, you know. You can't see whether people are hearing or not hearing. And to finally see human beings, devotees, sadhus sitting in front of you is another experience. So I am almost unused to this now. What we call as a new normal is something else, basically. You're used to seeing one camera and one direction, basically. So I'm so grateful to be here and in this divine vibrations of Radha Gopinath Temple. And what an amazing chapter to, you know, be speaking on. This is the concluding section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam has been going on for the last so many days. Parikshit Maharaj has been hearing from Shukadeva Goswami for so many days. And Shukadeva Goswami has completed narrating the whole Bhagavatam. And he is done. He is winding up. And this is the time of Parikshit's life where he has heard so much from Shukadeva Goswami. And now he is paying respects to his guru. He is formally showing gratitude to his spiritual master. And this is, in my understanding, one of the heights of what devotional service is. This is, in my understanding, one of the most important aspects of devotional service, where we offer respects and gratitude to the great teachers we learn from. All of us, by the grace of His Divine Grace, is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We have had the fortune of hearing so many exalted Vaishnavas, so many exalted spiritual masters, and so many exalted devotees speak on the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the mood of Parikshit Maharaj here in offering respects to His Guru, to Shukadeva Goswami, is just very apt. And I was thinking that I want to just focus on this aspect of Parikshit's mood here in this whole session, on how one should be grateful to having devotees in our life who can give us wisdom, direction and hope for all of us. So I'm going to divide today's class into two parts. One is we're going to talk about a little bit of the mood and the philosophy behind taking shelter of the spiritual master and great devotees. And the second half, we'll be talking about devotees who have actually done it. I'm going to be specifically talking about many, many of the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, some known, some not so known devotees who have exemplified this mood of taking shelter of the spiritual master, showing gratitude to the spiritual master and actually showing us what it means to connect with devotees in the right mode. So that's what we'll be roughly doing today. So seeking all your blessings so that I can speak in the right mood and speak the right words. So when we talk about attaining bhakti is very much connected with taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. irrespective of who the spiritual master is, whether he is from, you know, a particular land, a particular community, a particular caste, a particular creed, where the person is from, it doesn't really matter. What really matters is how intensely the Paramatma is active in his heart, how intensely the Paramatma is manifesting in his words, and how intensely the spiritual master has realized the Paramatma in his life. And we find that the scriptures are filled with such examples of people who have taken shelter of gurus, no matter what their age is, no matter what their, you know, like Shukadev Goswami here, 16-year-old boy. Now, 16-year-old boy, what, I mean, what is the possibility of how much knowledge? 16-year-old boys are not even given chance to drive cars here, you know. You can't even apply for license when you're a 16-year-old boy, you know. And what to speak of, you know, being a realized, self-realized spiritual master here. And somebody like Parikshit Maharaj, who is Vishnu Rata. Vishnu Rata means, from his childhood he has seen Vishnu. From his childhood, even before he was born, he has experienced Vishnu. For somebody who has experienced Vishnu even before birth, now if somebody is born in a devotee family, you end up having so much of feeling that, imagine somebody is born in Arjun's family, how much feeling will be there, you know, of being connected to the Supreme Lord, you know. And here is Vishnu Rataha taking shelter of a 16-year-old boy, surrendering himself, 7 days, 7 nights hearing him, and then he is offering gratitude to him. So it doesn't matter where the spiritual master is from. Lord Ram, when he met Shabari in Kishkinda, now Shabari was, we can't use the word tribal anymore, but Shabari was from a community which was, you know, the Nishad community. It's considered to be like a different origin. And she was not really highly literate, highly educated or anything like that. But Ram actually offered respects to her. And Ram actually considered her to be a great guru. The body is like a ship. Our body is like a ship. And the guru is like a captain. And with the guru's instructions, one does sadhana. And whatever the guru instructs for the body, one should do it, basically. So in the olden times, there used to be sails, boats that had sails. And if you have a boat that has sail, you don't have to do much work. If you don't have a boat that has sail, you have to put a lot of effort. So if you have seen these boats where you row, you know, so much of effort is put in to just get the boat going. But if you have a boat that has a sail, you can sit back and relax. The only thing you need to do is set the sail in the right direction. The wind blows and the sail takes the boat across. The spiritual master's kripa is like that wind. And when a student does sadhana as per the guru's instructions, it's like setting the sail in the right direction. And if you just do that, then you don't have to do much. The kripa of the spiritual master will take you ahead in life. The kripa of the spiritual master will take your boat off the body, which is like a boat, is called sadhana bhavan. It will take you ahead automatically. And therefore, it's not that you don't put any efforts, you put efforts. You put efforts in following the instructions of the spiritual master, set the sail in the right direction, keep your boat ready, make sure there are no holes in it. That effort you put in. But as far as going forward is concerned, the kripa is enough to take you forward, basically. And therefore, those who understand the concept of bhakti, and those who understand that the spiritual master is the captain of our ship, a lot of times when, so the difference between devotees who follow the path of austerities and the devotees who follow the path of devotion is that the path of austerities makes you very proud that I am doing things. But the path of devotion actually makes you dependent on the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of other devotees. The path of austerities makes you feel that I am great because it's my effort. And actually, if you see the great yogis in the Himalayas and the great yogis in so many places who are doing intense austerities, at the end of austerities, many people feel proud that I have done so much.
But in the path of bhakti, there is nothing to feel proud because you are not doing anything. What are you doing? You are just putting the sail in the right direction. And the path of bhakti is created in a way that you automatically progress. That realization that I am not doing anything and I am a product of the spiritual master's mercy is what bhakti is all about. And the more we are firm on that realization and the more we are intensely internally actually having faith in that realization, the more we are safer from the very intense feeling of being controllers, of feeling of being feeling that I have done something. Vishwamitra Muni, he followed both the lives. He followed the life of austerities also, and then he eventually followed the life of devotion also. When Vishwamitra Muni had taken Ram Lakshman with him through the forest towards Siddhashram, on the way, Vishwamitra Muni sees Ram and Lakshman sleeping in the night. And, you know, Vishwamitra Muni is telling them stories and they go to sleep. And the next day morning, Vishwamitra Muni gets up and he sees the face of Ram early in the morning. That breaks him completely. That vision of seeing the Mangalarti face of Lord Ram breaks Vishwamitra Muni completely. His whole mood of being the controller and being proud of his austerities just breaks intensely. And then Vishwamitra Muni, he chants a very beautiful shloka which is often chanted in the Shri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Kaushalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravartate Uttishta Narashardula Kartavyam Devamanikam. The Acharyas explained, when Vishwamitra Muni begins chanting this shloka, it is just a little around Brahma Muhurta time, you know, 4:30 you can assume. But he chants the first word, Kaushalya, for 1.5 hours, literally. He is just not able to go beyond that word, Kaushalya. Why? Because he understands Kaushalya is so great. I am only seeing the face of Ram once. But Kaushalya is seeing the face of Lord Ram getting up in the morning every day. That's how her every morning is. So Vishwamitra Muni was able to appreciate the greatness of somebody else's devotion for the first time. So all these years of his life, he has only been appreciating his own greatness. Because he was proud of his austerities. To become a Brahma Rishi is not a joke. And Vishwamitra Muni has done so much to become a Brahma Rishi. Thousands of years of austerities. So all these thousands of years he has spent on appreciating his own greatness. So when we are focusing on austerities, the path of austerity, you end up, you know, looking at your own greatness only. One day fast you do, or Chaturmas fast you do, or little fast here and there we do. Till the end of that fast we only think about our greatness. Kya austerity chal raha hai, you know. We just are so immersed in that mood. But here, the mood of devotion is very different because it helps you shift the focus from your own greatness to the greatness of somebody else. And that's what bhakti is all about. So Shukadeva Parikshit Maharaj over here at this point, he has heard the entire Bhagavatam, but he is not focusing on his own greatness. What a great austerity I have done. 7 days and seven nights I have not eaten anything. I have not drunk anything. I have been hearing continuously without sleeping. Parikshit Maharaj is not focused on that part. He is focused on the fact that here is Shukadeva Goswami, who is my spiritual master and who is the one who has taken me ahead on this path of devotion. I may be Vishnu Rata. I may be somebody who has been connected to Vishnu from my childhood. But here is somebody who has established my connection with Vishnu at the level of love. So now, our connection with the Supreme Lord is at lower levels many times. Obviously, He is our Father. He is everybody's Father. But to begin to develop love for the Supreme Lord is not easy. And that is what the spiritual master is expertised in. He can pull out the dormant love in your heart and, you know, give you an experience of that love. And therefore, we find that the spiritual master's role in our life is so very important. especially if you have to do big things in life, especially when you have to do difficult tasks in life, like controlling the mind, like, you know, performing sadhana bhakti for an entire lifetime, you know. Lord Ram, when he went to Janak Maharaj's kingdom, Mithila, and he was supposed to lift that bow, you know, Ram, when he went to the assembly of Mithila, of Janak Maharaj, he did not get up to break the bow on his own, till his guru told him. And this is the difference between Ram and all other kings who had gone there. All other kings who had gone to Mithila, they went alone. But Ram went with his guru. Ram didn't go alone. Ram went with his guru. Because the idea is that a lot of the kings probably remembered some god they were worshipping before lifting that bow, you know. But they were not able to lift that bow. But the only person who was able to lift that bow was Ram, because along with him, the spiritual master was there. And not just that, he sought the blessings of the spiritual master before going to lift that bow. So a lot of times in life, we may do big things in life. But let us please remember that behind all those big things that we are able to do is the silent blessings of the spiritual master. The grace of the spiritual master actually gives us the ability to do big things. So the world may be surprised, oh wow, what a big thing you have done. But remember, your strength comes not from your ability. It's not from your ability, your intelligence, your skills, whatever. It's because there is somebody who has blessed you. And the grace of the spiritual master is helping you achieve that kind of connection. And therefore, when the scriptures recommend that committing suicide is one of the greatest sins, the scriptures actually forsake people from committing suicide. But when the idea of committing suicide from a scriptural point of view is, when we do not utilize the human form of life for the right purpose, that is as good as suicide. The great devotees of the Lord consider human beings who do not engage in devotional service to the Supreme Lord as walking dead. You are alive, but you are dead in essence, in consciousness. And therefore, if you do not engage in the process of devotional service, that is as good as committing suicide only, because you are not utilizing the body to the best capacity. And therefore, the spiritual master is the one that helps us utilize this body in the best capacity. And therefore, the spiritual master is someone that is the most important person in our lives. And keeping that in mind, we should really connect with the devotees of the Lord. And for that matter, not just the initiating spiritual master, but every devotee who teaches us something is a spiritual master to some extent or the other. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he picked up different things from different sampradayas. So he picked up two things from each sampradaya, you know. From the Sri Sampradaya, he picked up the concept of unalloyed devotional service, you know. Absolutely, it's called Ananya Bhakti, not mixed with Jnana and Karma. And from Sri Sampradaya, he also picked up service to the devotees. Bhakta Jana Seva. So these two things he picked up from the Sri Sampradaya. From Brahma Sampradaya, he picked up the defeat of Mayavad philosophy. And he picked up Krishna Murti Seva, the idea of serving the deity form of the Lord. From Rudra Sampradaya, he picked up the sentiment of total dependence on Krishna. Tadiya Sarvasya Bhava. And he picked up Raga Marga, spontaneous devotion service to Krishna. And from the Kumar Sampradaya, he picked up the idea of exclusively taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. And the exalted mood of the gopis of their love for Krishna, you know, the gopi bhava. Now obviously, from our point of view, there are certain things that are not so relevant because we are not there, you know, as yet. We may understand that these are all things that Mahaprabhu picked it up, but not everything is immediately applicable to us at every stage in our life. Over a period of time, we can apply everything. But the thing that is immediately applicable to us, at least in my understanding, is this idea of service to the devotees, Bhakta Jana Seva. And this service to the devotees is what is the, one of the epitomes of what Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya is all about. Sri Vaishnavas, and they are a mood of serving, you know, the devotees is just so amazing and so deeply profound. Parikshit Maharaj, as he is approaching Shukadeva Goswami here, with the mood of taking shelter of his lotus feet. That is the mood that all of us should aspire to take shelter of the lotus feet of every devotee that we can come across. And it's not that somebody has to be at the level of the initiating spiritual master for being able to give you shelter and you know, and direction. Potentially, every devotee who can walk, who walks into our life, can give us hope and direction. So, with this mood and understanding Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of picking up this aspect of, you know, wanting to serve the devotees, Bhakta Jana Seva, from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, I want to explore the what we can learn from these Sri Vaishnavas and these stories that we're going to speak about. I'll tell you, these stories are such powerful, deeply impacting, and such genuine stories that it can actually open our eyes to a totally different perspective of what bhakti is. Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya is filled with stories of great devotees of the Lord trying to do so much for their spiritual master and for the devotees. Ramanujacharya, who was the head of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, when he was appointed as the head of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, that story of how he was appointed and how he was accepted in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya is a very touching story. Ramanuja was, you know, when Yamunacharya, whose name was Alabandar, the head of the Sri Vaishnava, he left from this world. The Sri Vaishnavas were always wanting to know who is going to be the next head. And they immediately, everybody thought Ramanuja can be the potential next head of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. But Ramanuja stayed in Kanchipuram. And the headquarters of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya was in Srirangam. So, they decided to send one devotee to the altar of Varadaraj and seek permission from Varadaraj for bringing, allowing Ramanujacharya to come here. So, there was one devotee who goes to Kanchipuram, and he goes to Varadaraj. His name is Mahapurna. Mahapurna is one of the disciples of Yamunacharya, exalted Vaishnava. He goes to Varadaraj and asks him. He says that in Srirangam, we need Ramanujacharya. So now these exalted devotees would speak to Varadaraj, you know, I mean, just like normal conversations, you know. And so Varadaraj would reciprocate, you know. So the Mahapurna went and asked Varadaraj, you know, that, you know, we need Ramanujacharya in Srirangam. So Varadaraj told him, how can I give you my treasure? Ramanujacharya is my treasure. He said, I cannot give you, you go back. So this Mahapurna came back all the way. And then the Sri Vaishnavas were thinking of another idea, how to convince Varadaraj. So they sent one very nice devotee, who was a very beautiful singer. He was singing beautiful bhajans. So he went and started singing bhajans, glorifying Varadaraj, singing so many you know, verses in front of Varadaraj. And Varadaraj loved it. And this devotee's name was Vararanga. Combination of Varadaraj and Ranganath, you know. So he's an ideal person to go. Makes him also happy, makes him also happy. So Varadaraj asked Vararanga, you made me so happy, ask for anything. Except for Lakshmi and myself, you ask anything, I'll give you. So he says, I want Ramanuja. And Varadaraj, he said, he realized, I made a mistake, you know. I should have included Ramanuja in my list, you know. But now that he has, and, you know, so then Vararanga said, my dear Varadaraj, my dear Lord, you are supposed to be Ek Vachani, Ek Patni and Ek Bana. Yeah? That's Lord Ram, right? And you are the same Ram who has come over here. And once you give a word, you can't take it back. So now that you are given a word, you have to give us Ramanuja. And that is how Varadaraj sent Ramanuja along with them. So when Ramanuja was in Srirangam, obviously some people did become envious of Ramanuja. One of the pujaris, the head pujari of Srirangam, he was the senior most disciple of Yamunacharya. So he naturally thought that after Yamunacharya, he is the next head of Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. But when they brought in a young boy, you know, comparatively, he just couldn't handle it. So he was actually trying to poison Ramanujacharya. And it became so intense, the scene over there in Sri Rangam, it became so intense that somebody tried to poison and kill Ramanujacharya, that Ghoshtipurna, he actually came there. So Ghoshtipurna was another very, very exalted Sri Vaishnava Acharya. He came to see how he can solve that situation, you know, take care of the situation. So when Ghoshtipurna came, Ramanuja came to greet Ghoshtipurna, and Ramanuja paid respects to Ghoshtipurna right in the middle of the road, you know. And if you know Sri Vaishnava, you know, they don't wear upper cloth on their body. Especially in front of Guru, they don't wear only. In front of Guru and, you know, and the Supreme Lord, they don't wear the cloth. So Ramanuja was lying on the bare floor, and if you know Srirangam, Tamil Nadu area in hot summers, it can be scorching hot. And he was, Ramanujacharya was lying on the scorching heat of Srirangam on the ground, and the ground was boiling hot. You can't walk with your bare foot over there. And Ramanujacharya was lying on, with his whole body spread, and Ghoshtipurna was not saying anything. He didn't pick him up. He was standing there. Minutes passed. Ramanujacharya is not getting up. Ghoshtipurna is not saying anything. Devotees are not able to stand over there, you know, because the heat is so intense. And Ramanujacharya is lying over there. And nobody knew what to say. Because Ghoshtipurna is such an exalted Vaishnava. You can't even say anything in front of him, you know. And nobody was reacting. Finally, one person, he burst out. He shouted at Ghoshtipurna. He said, "What kind of a guru are you? And what kind of a guru-disciple relationship is this?" He said, "You have come as a spiritual master, but it seems you have come to take away the life of your disciple." You know? Like that he spoke to his guru, to Ghoshtipurna. And then this man, this devotee who said this, he ran, picked up the body of Ramanuja, and kept the body of Ramanuja on his back, and he lied on the floor. So Ramanujacharya is practically on the back of this devotee, you know. And Ghoshtipurna, seeing this, he picked up both of them and he embraced both of them. And he told Ramanuja, this person, his name was Kidambi Achan. He said, "This person should be your servant." He said, "I was testing to find out who loves you the most. And somebody who can't tolerate your pain, that person can serve you loyally." So basically he told Ramanuja that, you know, this person has real concern for you because he is not bothered about offending the Param Guru. You know, because your body is going through so much pain. And therefore he told Ramanuja, accept him as your servant and whatever he serves you eat. And then that is how, you know, Ghoshtipurna resolved that connection. There was another devotee whose name was Vaduga Nambi. He was another disciple of Ramanujacharya. So his name was also Andhrapurna or Vatapurna. So he was the personal servant of Ramanujacharya. And he had one very important service. And 90% of the time he was doing that service only. He used to boil milk for Ramanujacharya. He used to give milk for Ramanujacharya. Now imagine, you know, entire life revolving around boiling milk, you know. And his entire service revolving around boiling milk for Ramanujacharya. So, this person was a personification of surrender to the spiritual master. And as usual, one day he was boiling milk for Ramanujacharya. And the procession of Ranganath was happening. Ranganath's deity, you know, if you have experience of Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya's traditions, almost every day there would be some procession happening on the streets. The Utsav Murti is taken on a palki and thousands of devotees chanting mantras and, you know, and so much of awe and reverence. And when the deity passes, everyone from every home comes out, stands on both sides of the street, you know. I remember in my younger days when I used to go to my hometown in Kanchipuram, every evening at 7 o'clock, it would be like a festival. And everyone on the street, and exact same time every day, the entire street is out. No one watching television, no one watching anything, you know, on their mobile phones. Everyone is out. And Varadaraj would, you know, come like a king. First, Brahmanas chanting mantras, at least about 100 Brahmanas chanting, you know, Divya Prabandham, you know, and then Varadaraj's deity coming on a huge palki, and on the palki there are 3-4 devotees standing and doing aarti constantly, and Varadaraj's palki would stop at different houses, and every house can go and offer, you know, aarti to the Lord and respects to the Lord. This is like a tradition, common tradition. And here in Srirangam, the exact same thing. So when the procession came out of Ranganath, so this Vadaganambi, he was boiling milk inside. And Ramanuja, he told his disciple Vadaganambi, you know, he said, go attend, take darshan of the Lord. And Vadaganambi, he replies to the to his guru Ramanujacharya, he says, you take darshan of your Lord. If I also take darshan of the Lord, who will boil milk for you? And he tells him, you please go ahead. So now imagine, you know, his dedication to his spiritual master was so much that he apparently didn't even seem to be interested in going and taking darshan of the Lord. It seems to be offensive, but it's not. Because it's a different flavor of, prioritizing the service to your spiritual master. So Ramanujacharya, interestingly, when Ramanujacharya and Vadaganambi would go for darshan of Ranganath, and Ramanujacharya would be standing in front of the deities, having darshan of, you know, the deities of Ranganath, Vadaganambi would be standing in the other direction, looking at Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya, I will tell him, why don't you take darshan of the Lord? So he would say, you take darshan of your Lord, I will take darshan of my Lord. And he would continue staring at Ramanuja only. So imagine the kind of connection that these people had. And Vadaganambi was very fond of the Charanamrit of Ramanujacharya. And he would take the Charanamrit of Ramanujacharya very seriously. And every single day when the lotus feet of Ramanujacharya would be washed, he would very, very enthusiastically drink the Charanamrit of Ramanujacharya. So one day, Ramanuja saw him drinking his Charanamrit. And after drinking Charanamrit, he put his hand on his head. So usually when you drink Charanamrit, it's not really recommended that, you know, you immediately go and wash your hand, or at least in the Shiva Vaishnava Sampradaya, you know. So they would put the Charanamrit on their head, basically. So Vadaganambi just did that. He just put his the Charanamrit of, after drinking, you know, the remnants of that, he put it on his head. Ramanujacharya immediately said, you should go and wash your hand, because it's ultimately foot wash, right, of Ramanujacharya. So he said, okay. He did that. He just went and followed what the Guru said. And then they went to the temple another time, and they took the Charanamrita of Ranganath, the deities, Ranganath Swami. So immediately after drinking the Charanamrita, he went and washed his hand. So Ramanujacharya said, why did you wash your hand? Charanamrita of Ranganath Swami, you should put on your head. He said, yesterday only you told me, after drinking Charanamrita, you should wash hands, you know. I'm just doing that. So Ramanujacharya was telling about, you know, a human being, like rather a guru's Charanamrita. But for him, there is no difference between the guru and the Lord's Charanamrita. There is, for him, it's exactly the same. One time, they were traveling from one city, one place to another. And Vadaganambi was packing the paraphernalia of Ramanujacharya for the travel. And he kept the deities of Ramanujacharya in a box. And he put all the paraphernalia of the deities also in the same box. And while he was packing up, the footwear of Ramanujacharya was, there's no space. He put it in the same box where he put the deity paraphernalia. So when they opened it eventually, Ramanujacharya saw that footwear of Ramanujacharya was in the same box as the deity's paraphernalia. Ramanujacharya got really upset with Vadaganambi. He said, what are you doing? You put my sandals on in the same place. He said, Vadaganambi is telling his Guru Maharaj, he said, for me, it's all the same thing. I put all the Lord's things together. Simple. So his explanation was simple. All the Lord's paraphernalia are put together. That means for him, the Guru's footwear is also the paraphernalia of the Lord. And that is the kind of connection that, you know, Vadaganambi had towards Ramanujacharya. And, you know, in fact, Vadaganambi, when he talked to his other god brothers, you know, he had a very interesting way of looking at it. So one time he spoke to two of Ramanacharya's very prominent disciples, Kuresh and Dasharathi. So he told them that, you know, you people, you go to the temple and worship Ranganath. But when you are in the, you know, in the ashram or the mutt, you worship Ramanujacharya. It's like you are depending on both the banks. You are depending on this bank also, you are depending on this bank also. So sometimes you worship this bank, sometimes you worship this bank of the river, you know. But he said, for me, everything is in one bank only. I don't have to go to the other bank. Look at the connection, look at the kind of faith that they have in the spiritual master, and look at the kind of shelter they take of the spiritual master. I find this to be such an amazing way of understanding the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya and the mood behind Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And I find this to be such an amazing connect between the spiritual master and the disciple. And not just the disciples of Ramanujacharya showed this kind of mood. Even Ramanujacharya himself showed this kind of mood when he would deal with his gurus, basically. So, Ramanujacharya once had gone to meet one of his gurus named Sri Shailapurna. So, Ramanujacharya had many, many gurus. And one of them was Sri Shailapurna. From every guru, he learned something different, you know. So, from Sri Shailapurna lived in Tirupati on the Tirumala Hills, on the top of the hill. And Ramanujacharya went to visit Sri Shailapurna, you know. And while, you know, he went to visit him, Ramanujacharya was below the hill, basically. He was not ready to climb up. And somehow, the devotees convinced him, you know, for the service of the Lord, please climb. So, finally, Ramanujacharya climbed up. And when Ramanujacharya climbed and reached towards the vicinity of the temple, his spiritual master, Sri Shailapurna, came running to greet his guru, his disciple. And he came with the garlands of the Lord, another paraphernalia. So when he saw his guru, imagine, you know, you are going somewhere and your guru comes to greet you. You know, it's so embarrassing. So Ramanujacharya is feeling so embarrassed that Sri Shailapurna himself came to greet him like that, you know. So he tells his guru, my dear Gurudev, I feel ashamed that you have come to welcome, you know, me all the way. He said, I'm a small person. Why did you come? He said, you should have sent someone else to receive me. So Sri Shailapurna, he replied to his disciple Ramanujacharya. He said, my dear Ramanuja, I actually tried to find someone who can receive you. And I tried to find someone smaller than me, you know, can go and receive you. But unfortunately, in the whole of Tirumala, I couldn't find anybody smaller than me. So I decided I myself should come and receive you. Now imagine, you know, this is the level at which these exalted devotees think. Now for us to even think at this level is almost impossible, because we are so immersed in our own greatness. So only when we can get out of our own greatness can we think about others' greatness. And I find that so prominently visible in these stories of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. So Ramanujacharya, he was not very comfortable staying on the Tirumala Hills somehow, you know, because he was feeling, I am so insignificant, and this hill is Anantashesh's body. Of course, Ramanujacharya himself was Anantashesh, but he was actually showing the world about how important it is to consider the holy places to be worshipable. And he said, this is the Anantashesh's body. So he felt, I can't stay here for too long. So one day he stayed and he wanted to leave from there. So Sri Shailapurna told him, you know, in the scriptures it is said, at least you should stay for 3 days in one place before you leave from a holy place. So because, you know, his guru told him, he stayed for 3 days. But for 3 days, he didn't eat, drink or pass, you know, urine or stool for 3 full days. And he just stayed there because his guru told him. And while Ramanujacharya was staying in Tirumala Hills, he had a cousin named Govinda. And Govinda used to serve Ramanuja as a personal servant. So Govinda was the servant of Sri Shailapurna. But Sri Shailapurna told him, you serve Ramanuja now for the next whatever amount of time he is here. So Govinda, though he was a cousin brother of Ramanujacharya,
He became the servant of Ramanacharya, you know, and he was serving him. And Sri Shailapurna saw Govinda doing something very weird one day, you know. He saw him that he was preparing bed of Ramanacharya, and he jumped on the bed himself, and he was rolling on the bed, basically. Sri Shailapurna asked him, "What is this? You prepared bed for Ramanuja, and why are you sleeping on it?" He said, "I want to make sure that it is not poking, there is no pinpricks, and it's smooth." So he would go to that extent. And that is the kind of personalities that the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya has. And that is the kind of personalities that, the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya has, and the kind of training that towards the spiritual master's mood and the spiritual master's connection. So, Ramanacharya had, as I said, many, many disciples who were in this mood and exhibited great amount of loyalty towards the spiritual master. But even beyond Ramanacharya's personality, there were many other devotees who exhibited such kind of devotion to the Lord that it was actually heart-melting. There was one particular devotee which I would like to speak one or two stories of, which really teaches us some amazing connections, you know. So once one devotee who was of such a mood was a personality named Kanchipurna. So Kanchipurna, he would serve Varadaraj by fanning Varadaraj. That was his regular pastime. And Kanchipurna would talk to Varadaraj. Kanchipurna was from a very low family from birth, but he developed this great connection to Varadaraj. And every day he would, fan Varadaraj. So many devotees would ask Kanchipurna for different questions. And they would, Kanchipurna would go and ask the Lord for these questions. So one time, so Ramanujacharya also considered Kanchipurna one of his gurus, basically, you know. So one time, Kanchipurna, so somebody came to ask Kanchipurna a question. He said, this devotee asked Kanchipurna to ask Varadaraj, "Can you please ask the Lord when I will go to the spiritual world? If I will ever go to the spiritual world." So Kanchipurna said, I'll ask him. So he, next day when he was speaking to the Lord, he said, "My dear Lord, I met a nice devotee. He loves me very much. And we have a very close connection," he told Varadaraj. And he said, "This devotee asked me to ask you a question." He said, "The question is, you know, at the end of his life, will he come back to the spiritual world?" Varadaraj told him, "What a question you are asking me." He said, "The very fact that he is attached to you, that's his qualification. Means surely he is coming to the spiritual world. Anybody who is attached to you is surely coming to the spiritual world." Like that, Varadaraj told him, you know. So Kanchipurna, he went and told that person the answer. One day, as Kanchipurna was worshipping the Lord, he was a very simple person basically. He had a thought. Suddenly he had a thought. And the Lord, he understands Kanchipurna's mind very well. So he asked Kanchipurna, "Do you have a question to ask me?" He said, "Yeah," but he was hesitating to ask that question. The Lord said, no, ask, you should speak your mind. So Kanchipurna spoke. He said, "My dear Lord, I was thinking, when you told that devotee is going to the spiritual world, I was thinking at the end of my life, will I come to the spiritual world?" So Kanchipurna, he wanted to make sure, you know, that he is also going basically. So he said, you know, "Will I be able to come to the spiritual world and continue doing my seva to you?" Varadaraj said, "What? You coming to the spiritual world?" He said, "My dear Kanchipurna, you are doing great service for me, you are fanning me, all that is good basically. I also speak to you, all that is perfectly fine. But as far as coming to my abode is concerned, sorry, you won't be able to come." So, you know, Kanchipurna was shocked. So he said, "Why?" So he said, "See, you are serving me, but unless and until you serve a devotee, you can't come back to the spiritual world." When Kanchipurna heard that, immediately dropped his fan. He said, "Okay, I'm going, I will go and serve devotees." He dropped his fan instantly, then and there. And he left from there, from the service of Varadaraj. Varadaraj said, "Where are you going?" He said, "See, I'm going to do some greater service." And he left from there.
And he straight away went to Srirangam, and he didn't go to Srirangam just like his natural self. Now, Kanchipurana was a very famous person. Everybody knew him. You know, I mean, imagine, you know, somebody is coming to ask him questions to ask Varadaraj. So everybody knew him naturally. So who's going to accept his service? So Kanchipurana disguised himself as a coward boy. And he went as a coward boy to Mahapurna, who was another exalted devotee. And he began to serve Mahapurna as a coward boy. You know, worship, serving not Mahapurna directly also, but serving the cows of Mahapurna, basically. And doing a little menial service for Mahapurna. And over a period of time, Mahapurna began to really like this coward boy. And they really developed a very strong bond with each other. And one particular day, Kanchipurna, when he came back from, you know, herding the cows, it was raining very heavily. And, you know, Mahapurna, he ran to the cow shed to see if the coward boy is wet and he needs new pair of clothes. But what had happened was Kanchipurna, because his clothes had got wet, he wore his original clothes as Kanchipurna. And when Mahapurna saw that, he got the shock of his life. He said, this is Kanchipurna and I have been taking service from you for such a long time. So Mahapurna said, now you don't stay here, you go back to Varadaraj and serve him. And that's how Kanchipurna comes back all the way to Varadaraj and starts serving Varadaraj again. So, like this, you know, the Shiva Vaishnava Sampradaya shows us the whole mood behind how important it is to consider the spiritual master and the great devotees of the Lord as people who are responsible for our perfection. So many times we tend to think that by my sadhana I will perfect my life. But when we look at stories like this, when we hear Parikshit Maharaj talking about taking shelter of the spiritual master, though he is Vishnu Ratha, we hear stories of personalities like Ramanuja, Kanchipurna, and so many exalted Vaishnavas going out of their way to serve the other devotees and take shelter of other devotees and their spiritual master. It really helps us understand and become sober to our need to take shelter of devotees and our need to take shelter of the spiritual master and be dependent on their mercy for perfecting our lives. So with this thought, I would like to end here. Then any quick questions or comments, please. And more than anything else, whatever I have spoken is more or less theoretical. I don't have any understanding of it nor practical realization of it. But by the blessings of all of you all, hopefully someday I will be able to practice what I am speaking. Hare Krishna. Yes, Shyam Charan Pu. I hope it's a comment and not a question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for a very enlivening lecture. I have one small doubt regarding the behavior of this Varad Nambi. How to understand at my level that he is outright speaking to his spiritual master, and it appears to be kind of little arrogance. So if a disciple follows his example, will the spiritual masters, they will like it. What to speak of spiritual master, not even common devotees, they will like this kind of behavior. If a person speaks like this, outright on the face. So can you please make us understand this?
Thank you for that question. I knew that the question would be in many minds, but thank you for asking it. My understanding is this. The dealings between the spiritual master and disciple are very private. Usually, we as outsiders, we have nothing to give and take with those dealings, which are very private, you know. Now, obviously, these dealings are not supposed to be imitated, basically. These are dealings that we can take inspiration from, specifically from the point of view of his respect and, you know, his understanding of the spiritual master's position, basically, you know. And as far as the very fact that he is an acharya in the Shiva Vaishnava Sampradaya, you know, and the very fact that Ramanacharya considered him to be exalted, it actually shows that because Ramanacharya was a very heavy guru also, if you know it, you know, when his disciples would do wrong, he would correct also very heavily, you know, he's very heavy in correcting his disciples. And in this case, he didn't. Which essentially means that their relationship was at a different level. So private discussions between the spiritual master and disciple are something that, you know, we do not have rights to get into. But it is purely between the way a spiritual master perceives intentions. So usually what happens is, when we behave arrogantly or we behave wrongly with the spiritual master, it is a lot of pride coming out. It's a lot of arrogance coming out. But when you look at dealings of somebody like Vadaganambi, you know, and his dealings with the spiritual master, there's no tinge of pride coming out. Because it's purely his love that is visible, basically. And that is why he is so much glorified in the Shivaishwam Sampradaya. That is why he is so much appreciated in the Shivaishwam Sampradaya. Otherwise, why would this story even be there? You know? Why would this story even be documented? Right? And also, from the point of view of his loyalty towards the spiritual master, is just amazing, unconditional and absolutely spotless loyalty. So I find that these two are logical answers from my point of view. First is, the dealings is very private, and we are getting access to that private dealings. It doesn't mean that we imitate it or we, you know, follow what exactly, because the flavors of relationship are different, right? Govinda's relationship with Ramanuja was different from Vadaganambi's relationship with Ramanuja. So each of the disciples had a different relationship, and they didn't try to imitate each other's relationship, because that was a very special kind of connection. We see in our own lives, Srila Prabhupada, the kind of connection that he had with Tamalakrishna Maharaj, probably nobody else had that kind of connection with Prabhupada, right? Tamalakrishna Maharaj could tell Prabhupada anything, and he could get away with it also, you know. And Prabhupada didn't feel so offended by that. So we can't say that he was wrong, you know, he was offending the Guru. It's his relationship, because they have invested so much in that relationship, and because they've invested so much in the relationship, there is a certain amount of liberty that, you know, comes along with that investment, right? So I find that to be a logical way of understanding it. Obviously, it's not for imitation, it's more from inspiration, and from, I would look at it from the point of view of looking at his loyalty, not from the point of view of looking at his dealings, basically. I hope that answers. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Actually, you gave very nice answer, but still that inspiration part, although we do not know the dealings between them, and as an spectator from outside, I am tend to see the external behavior of the person, not looking into his mind, what he is thinking, or what the other party is thinking. So, and we tend to attain inspiration from the reciprocation between these two personalities.
Right.
So, of course, there is no harsh reciprocation between these two personalities.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. I don't know if I have spoken anything that is beyond my realization, please forgive me for that. And if I have spoken something that is useful to you all, please bless me so that I can follow this. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय.